Good evening. You weren't expecting this, were you? Nor I. But I'll have to give credit to Brother Mac for this tonight, because years ago, and I don't know if this was when we deacons or elders, but years ago, Mac, being one of our main song leaders, told us at a meeting one time that he always has a set of songs ready in case he has to lead songs unexpectedly. And I said, you know what? That's a good thing. I ought to have a sermon ready in case something happens to the preacher. This is the second time I've had to do it now. You know, and so you learn from people like that. And that's what got me in a position to be prepared for a deal like this. Not that I'm going to do a good job, just that I'm able to say something besides just kill time. In our classroom, in the high school, junior high class, if you go in there to the door and look to the right on the wall, there's a red tack on that white wall. I may have told you all in the past what this is for. Our kids know. The white wall represents the world. That red tack represents a Christian in the world. Why is that important, you may ask? Well, most of you in here probably know that. The answer is because in Matthew, we're taught that Jesus has all authority. And he also said in Matthew that he would build his church, which gives ownership, authority and ownership. That's two pretty big important things right there when someone has authority and ownership of something. So he has authority and ownership of his church. And then we're going to also get into a scripture a little later in this lesson about we need to speak the same thing. So we cannot blend in, is an important point about that red tack on the wall. We cannot blend in. We must be different if we're going to be what God wants us to be at Christians. Forgive me. I have this on my iPad. You'll see me doing all these things here. Just hope I hit the right buttons when I do that, because I am not a high-tech person. Trust me on this. But we've got to be careful, because if we're not, as Christians, we become denominationalized. Is that a word? Okay, making sure it didn't sound right when it came out. We become like the denominational world. Got to be careful about that. And so we want to look at four biblical, and I emphasize, biblical reasons. Not what I think reasons. Biblical reasons that we have to be careful. If you would, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 3 through 4. I've entitled this reading we're getting ready to have, Man's Disrespect for God's Word. 2 Timothy 4, 3 through 4 says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap upon themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." Itching ears mean you go to where you go so you can hear what you want to hear. And so if this group I go visit doesn't really turn me on, if that's the expression I want to use, I'll go to another group, a religious group, and see what they have to say and see if that fits my desires and my whims and my wishes. And so itching ears will cause you to do things like this. But as was mentioned in our evangelism class this evening, you know, we're created in the image of God. We have a spiritual image within us that is designed to seek God. That's how we're made. We're not designed to seek everybody else and what they say and think. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, in 2 Peter, we're taught that, you know, the Bible's not open for public interpretation. You know, God never asked man what he thought. God told man what to do. So we've got to understand that. Because that white wall in our classroom, that's all the world saying, nah, we can do what we want to. We've got to be like that red tack. Remember, we got to preach the word and nothing else. John 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God, and the Word was with God. It was there from the beginning. God's master plan has never been anywhere but here with us the whole time. It was here before us. Don't corrupt God's Word by following the traditions of men. We have a lot of traditions. And I've seen it in this very building here where in the times past, we've changed up the order of the service so that we prove tradition says we don't have to have the Lord's Supper at the beginning. We could have it at the end. We can have eight songs instead of five. We can have five prayers instead of two or three. I mean, that we have the latitude to do. That's a tradition in a way, but what it is a way we go about keeping things orderly. More importantly, that's what we do. Because we know that in 1 Corinthians 16:33, God says, I am not the author of confusion. So we cannot be confusing. We need to be consistent as God is consistent in what we do. So we cannot become traditionalist to where we follow man instead of God's word and what we are supposed to do. Man's disrespect for God's word. Very, very big problem we have in the world. And I tried to study my best friend. I made a commitment to myself last year when this happened to study with my best friend. I've got to quit hitting these buttons. I'm messing this thing up. Studying with my best friend and went from junior high on. And he grew up, I think, Presbyterian. And now he goes to the Brethren Church here in town. And we, like I say, we were best men at each other's wedding. We got engaged the same day, you know. And so we've been through everything together. And every Monday, we eat dinner together. Done it for 30 years or more. And I was going, so when Muscle and Shovel come out, I said, aha, here it is. I got a chance. And so, you know, I talked to him that day, like our Mondays. We got through with a chit-chat like we always go through. And I had the book and was wanting him to read it and kind of went into all this. And, you know, my love for him and his wife. And this is why I want to talk to you about this. And, you know, done pretty good. Prayed a lot about it. And then what did he do as soon as I got through with it? He said, that is your interpretation. I could have slapped him. The worst thing he could have said to me was that. But he wouldn't listen to the rest of what I had to say. That was the end of it. We still eat on Mondays. And I was very disappointed. My wife told me, well, maybe you planted the seed. Maybe one day he'll still take that book. I hope. I got a guy in Goldthwaite, Texas I'm getting ready to send it to this week. He's a cowboy church guy. You know what the big hang-up I'm going to have with him? He's a musician in the band that plays in their church. But he posted on Facebook last week about how there's one church, and he'd use Ephesians 4, which we use a certain one church and one body, all the things he was just right on. How can we have so many denominations? On and on he went, right down the line what Muscle and Shovel is all about. He will have no problem what the book says till we get to the music part. I've known him for years. I've shown him parts for years, and we're very close friends over the phone. We've seen each other a time or two. See what happens there, you know? I can't let the traditions of men get in my way of getting the Word of God out to these people. We cannot do that. We have to be different. You got to put the risk of friendship down the line of importance over the message of God. So don't let those traditions get in the way. The second thing we've got to be careful of is in Galatians 1:6-10. Man's desire to follow men instead of God. And we have a world full of this. And this reads this way. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, and so I now say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. That's a pretty important point. It was repeated. It was so important that it was repeated twice by Paul. Don't preach any other gospel. There is no other gospel. That's the point. There is no other gospel. And if we do try to do that, then now we are doing a traditional view of what God has not told anyone about. Traditions. We're becoming that white wall again. We've got to be that tack. Why is that tack so important? Because you go to Matthew chapter 7, it tells you not everybody's going to enter into heaven. And it tells you not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will be recognized by Christ. Only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. That's why that's important. Remember, there is only one gospel. And it began in John 1, in the beginning, like we said before, was the Word. Everything God wants us to know is right there in the gospel, and we have to read it. And I made this comment in our class today. One of the preachers, I'm a Facebook friend of the Brown Trail School of Preaching. I think he said it was a 60-something time he started reading the Bible from start to finish. And he studied. He don't just read it. He studies it. And his point was this. I'm amazed how much I've overlooked and how much I see for the first time every time I read it. And he's, probably younger than I am. But, wow. That's how great the gospel is. You'll never, ever not be challenged, enlightened, or benefited from reading the gospel. It's always there. God always will outdo you when it comes to giving you something for your effort of serving Him. He'll outdo us. He'll bless us more than we can ever understand. And the last part of what we read in Galatians 1, 6 through 10, I really like this part. It says, for do I now persuade men or God? In other words, am I trying to persuade God? I'd hate to be trying to do that. Just look at the magnitude and power of God. And here a mere human would try to persuade God that, God, you didn't get it right. You had this homosexual thing wrong all these years, God. You had it wrong. We got it right now. We know we're enlightened. We know so much more than those guys did back in the old days. I don't want to be accused of that. I'd rather go to jail for saying it's wrong than telling God he's wrong. And if someone picks this recording up and hears that, they can turn this into a hate crime, and so be it. I can live off bread and water, whatever they give me. But they can't take my spiritual food away. Can't do that. Won't let them do that. I hate this thing. Now I hit the wrong code. Bingo. All right. Now we're going to go to Matthew chapter 15, verse 6 through 9. Our third point of why we don't want to blend in and become the traditional and become denominational in our view, Matthew 15, 6 through 9. We want to be aware of the traditions of man. Again, it says this, thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. The commandments of men? I didn't know man had a commandment. According to the Bible, we don't. But according to the world, the men do. We're hypocrites if we think we can preach any other gospel than that of God. They draw near to me with their mouth. They'll say anything to give God glory. And their lips, but their heart is far from God when they do that. They don't want to please God. They want to please man. They want to please themselves. They don't want to offend anybody. They want to go along and get along. It's a whole lot harder to stand up for something than to stand for anything. It takes no talent to stand for anything. It takes no backbone, no courage, no character. And don't. But to stand up for the will of God, it'll take all the power that God has to give you to do that. Because Satan will work his ways of trying to tempt you into not doing that. It's going to take all we have to do that right. God never did and never will ask man for his opinion. Never did, never will. First Corinthians 1:10. This is a powerful verse, powerful reading. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10 says, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined in the same mind and in the same judgment. Speak and teach the same thing." You know, I just mentioned a while ago, God's not the author of confusion. Christ established his church. Christ has been given all authority in heaven and earth. There's no confusion there. And we're supposed to speak the same thing. There's no confusion there. Every class I've ever taken in high school or college or anywhere else, when the quiz was given to me, had one answer. It wasn't open for debate. The professor never asked me to give my opinion of him being right or wrong. God's message, the Bible, is no different. It withstands the literary test. It has an author. It has a subject. And when you've read it, it has a message that you should know. One question I had when I was in high school, I never was challenging anyone to be salutatory or valedictory. I couldn't even spell the two words back then, so I wasn't going to challenge them for that. I had way too much fun to study like I should have probably. And when it comes to the one test in literature, and English teachers had on there, "What do you think the author meant by this?" Well, I told what I thought the author meant. And I got it counted wrong, and I argued with her. "You said, what do I think?" She said, "You could not have read that book and had that thought." Okay, she had me. But it's what I thought anyhow. I was being honest to her. But she had the right answer. If you'd read that book, you'd have known the answer. You wouldn't have had to do what you did. Well, God's the same way. He has a message, and he wants us to know the answer. But we can't go to man to get it. We can't go to man to get it. We've got to go to God to get it. And he's not hiding it. It's there for the taking. You know, remember, God's not the author of confusion. 1 Corinthians 14:33. I think I said 16:33 a while ago. That just hit my mind. 14:33 is what it is. He's not the author of confusion. We make it confusing. I go back to my days of playing football. The coach would draw the play up on the board, and it took all 11 guys doing their little assignment on that play. And if it didn't work, when it come film time, that coach would take that projector and run that thing back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, showing why it failed. And he'd point everybody out that did a good job and everybody out that did a bad job. And guess what, guys? Unless all 11 do it, it fails. So it has to be done a certain way. Life is no different. God gives us a way to do it spiritually. Our life's no different. We've got to do it one way to be successful in life. We have to do it God's way to be successful spiritually. And that's why how you keep it from being confusing. And that's how you keep it from blending in. That's how you keep from being like everybody else and becoming like a denomination with just a name on the building. You know, the denomination world, they form this ministerial alliance where they can all go along and get along. Why? Because they're all trying to be like each other. They're not trying to be different. Their names of the building is all that's different. They all believe that anyone can go to heaven. All you got to do is believe in God and touch the TV set and you're saved. You know, if that's how you get the message from God or whatever they tell you. You don't find that in the Bible anywhere. We must have total reverence, total awe, total respect, total fear, total trust and total faith in God's Word to not become denominational and traditional in our religion. Anything less will not work. It takes effort. It takes work. It takes sacrifice. I can't even begin to understand the sacrifice that Christians did in the first century. I can't even begin to understand it. I read it. I hear it. I mean, I understand the graphics. I just can't understand it. How did they do it? How did they do it? I'm having a hard enough time doing it today without that. I don't even want to know what I'd do if I had it. I don't know. I'd lie to you if I said I know what I do. I don't know. I've never been challenged that way. I know what I need to do, and I know what I better do, and I hope I never have to come to the point I have to figure it out that way. But in the meantime, I'm going to be prepared to do what I have to do. I just hope it's right if that day ever comes. And that's why we get up every day. That's why we read that book every day. That's why we pray every day. So we will not fail with God on our side. If I rely on myself to make that decision, I will fail. My human instinct will take over, and I will fail. You've got to be non-traditional, non-denominational. You've got to be the red tack on the wall to succeed. Got to be that. That's the message I want to leave with you tonight. Also, as always, we want to encourage anybody that has any needs that we can assist you with, whether it be one in which you've been studying the Bible with somebody and you know the lessons the Bible teaches about salvation and you're ready to make that step and put on Christ in baptism and become a faithful member of the church. That's always an afforded opportunity here. And if you have needs that find in your life that are causing you to struggle as a Christian, struggle as a person, whatever it may be, we have the opportunity to have you come forward and have the prayers of the church help you through these things and help you find your connection with God in times of trouble. If anything you have you need, we ask if you would to come as we now stand and go to our song.